Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 39. This one titled Desert Dog, 1495 and 4098. I threw a rock and roll party on my last birthday, but it's good because I'm rocking my life away. And luckily, I don't do that alone. I have a cast of characters that bring the vibrance with me. Let's bring them in here. My favorite Canadian for the next hour and yours, the show creator himself, and just the all-around dapper long hair extraordinaire. Fabio's got nothing on him. Adam Carbine, come on in here.
Hello, sir. Hello. I'm not sure what that reference was off the top there, but sounds nice. I liked it.
it's one for me and me alone. But okay. Peter,
there you go.
Let's bring her in, by the way, my better half and, well, all of our better halves, the best looking woman on this show and any other as far as I'm concerned, most kind and gentle human being, but also violent Brian Blaney fan I've ever seen. Producer Peggy, come on in here. How are you? What you know in there? You could have chewed.
I had ice cream in my mouth. it was too cold just to swallow.
You could have totally gave us an awkward few seconds off camera and then swallowed and then got off. But that's all right. Okay. How are you?
It happens.
I'm good.
I'm on fire today.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy early birthday to my better half. That's right. We should just have nothing but tributes on social media all day long.
I think that's fair.
Yep. Let's do it. So have you started your birthday festivities?
I have ice cream.
Well, ice cream's good, folks. Ice cream's good. All right. What do you say we get into some stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. That means it's time for our weekend review. Somebody hit the button. Weekend review.
There we go.
We got our first comment from Freddie chiming in, ready to go. I like him a lot. Freddie said Phoenix put on some good racing this past weekend. Looking forward to Bristol this weekend. Amen to that. And one of the big news is that ISM is no longer holding the championship race anymore. They're going back to Homestead. Well, we're going to talk about all that.
We'll get there. You know, we're still just doing a weekend review here.
Yeah, Freddie, we're going to talk about all that. We're going to give them something to talk about. How about love? Ooh, love. See, I made the reference before the show, but that nobody else heard it, so that's all right.
That was good. Yeah. No, yeah, it was so good you had to do it again.
Yeah, that's all right. Speaking of doing it, Chandler Smith, he got the dub for Joe Gibbs Racing. Of course, Chandler Smith is a guy, big-time prospect. He's somebody I'm still surprised the colleague let slip away. Really am. Given their family atmosphere at that team and organization, so surprised he's at Gibbs. But Mr. Carbine, what'd you think of Chandler Smith getting the W?
I think he's shown a lot of talent over the last few years. He's shown a lot of potential and promise, and I'm not surprised to see him already getting in the win column this year. It's nice to see, and I agree with you on the colleague situation. I think Joe Gibbs got a real good deal here in just like scooping him up for nothing, so you know, props to them, and they're already seeing the fruits of their labor, if you will.
Absolutely. And we love fruit here on Race and Refresh, especially as spring continues to sprung. Looking forward to that.
I'm actually not a big fruit fan myself.
All righty.
Sorry to rain on your parade.
We here at Loganity Enterprises like a little good piece of fruit every now and again. I like peach ice cream. I love that in the summer. Get that from UDF. But no,
I don't think that counts as fruit.
It's got real peach pieces in there, buddy. Counts. It's got real peach pieces.
I guess so.
But Chandler Smith didn't look like he was going to win this race.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Allgaier blows a tire in the final laps. I mean,
from the lead.
You talk about, I mean, it was Denny Hamlin-esque. We saw him do that at one point a few years ago now. And it was one of those situations where, boy, if Justin Allgaier didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. You feel for the cat because you blow a tire, what was it, five to go? Something in that range.
I think so, yeah.
And you're sitting pretty. Junior Motorsports, come on, pop the champagne. Let's go. We'll see you at the house. And then hold your horses. If you ever needed a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that this sport will humble your ass in a hurry, Justin Allgaier, humbled. Yeah. Looking like that GTA wasted sign. Tough times. Look, what'd you make of that situation before we move on to the Cup series? Justin Allgaier sitting in the catbird seat and his tire went nana.
Yeah, it's like you said, it humbles you quickly, but it's a reminder that there's a reason we run every lap. You know, there are some of these races, more so last week in the Cup series, but Kyle Larson was, you know, ahead of the pack for a long time. And he was like, it was just like, okay, you know, can this race end? We know he's going to win, but we don't always know that. Right. And whether it's him having an issue himself or whether there's a caution from someone else that, you know, that is the reason why we run to the very last lap and sometimes more depending on overtime and all that. But yeah, you know, you have to be able to put an entire race together and that includes the final lap. Right. So sucks for Justin Allgaier. It's not his fault. In this case, I was looking here. It looks like Freddie says, yeah, Denny did it at the Brickyard in 2020 and Harvick ended up winning that race. And the next year at Pocono, Kyle Larson was leading and blows a tire and Alex Bowman wins it. So it's not over till it's over. Absolutely. I do remember that Kyle Larson one. I'm trying to remember if I watched that Brickyard in 2020.
Oh, I remember.
But I don't remember that one as well. But
did we know each other yet in 2020? I don't know if we did or not.
We would have been just on the surface. Yeah, you would have known me as Adam C. at the time.
Just kidding, Nicole. You wouldn't have known Jack with a side of squad about yours truly and their fandoms. That's all right.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, I remember Denny having that trouble, and you're right, Freddie. I'd forgotten about that Kyle Larson situation. So thank you for bringing that back up.
That was literally like last lap, final corner at Pocono.
Freddie's right. Yeah, you know, we talk all the time, and frankly, when we're about to talk about it with Bell, you don't know until we wave that checkered. You have. We can think, we can be sure, the probability can be high, but we don't know. Yeah. And so that's something we all got reminded of Saturday as we watched the Xfinity race. Stepfather, Kyle, also, good to see you, Sean. Glad you're coming. He said he's glad to see Bristol's not dirt this year. We're going to talk about that some here in just a bit.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
we like to take our time nice and slow. Christopher Bell got it done in the Cup Series at Phoenix.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a good cure for insomnia, though.
Yeah, I know. I know Freddie earlier said he put on some good racing, and there was some good moments for sure. But on the whole, I don't know if this was the most exciting event that I've watched. And unfortunately, that seems to be a recurring pattern with Phoenix. You know. I know they were trying out a new, the new package, the new short track package. And by most accounts from the drivers, they said they didn't seem to notice much of a difference, if at all, anything, you know, if anything at all. And I don't know there was a few more passes. I know that NASCAR has come out and said, oh, you know, look at the passing stats. There were more passes this year than last time. So this is working, and I don't know if the eye test is working there.
I told our buddy Ryan Hill, who comments a lot, we text a lot during the races, being, you know, he's a big NASCAR guy. I will reserve full judgment for the short track package until after Bristol this weekend, because that's a true, genuine, can't cut it any other way short track. However, if Phoenix is an indication, and I told him this, we haven't fixed a doggone thing. We haven't made, I mean, if it's like a bored prisoner poking at his wall trying to break out. We haven't made any sort of inch on making progress there. You know, that's if Phoenix is the indication. I'm willing to wait until after Bristol for full judgment because that, again, you know, Phoenix is this kind of somewhere in between sort of thing, where Bristol is a true, absolute short track, can't cut it, slice it any other molecule away. You can split all hairs you want. We don't know. Phoenix is a weird, again, one of the sports love childs.
But I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't have this like photographic memory for every single race I watch, but I don't recall Bristol last year being really that big of an issue with the package. You know, I don't remember it being a real snooze fest last year. Maybe that's partially where it's placed on the schedule. I know it's like the cutoff race for at least the night races, and it, you know, you can't compare it to the dirt last year, but I don't know if Bristol was the thing that needed help. It was the Phoenix races. It was the, you know, yes. It's, do you call it a short track?
Help, I know that.
We'll That's true. Martinsville. Yeah, Martinsville was.
I mean, you talk about, let's just get a blankie.
That's true. I was going to say something, and it's coming. Oh, yeah, there were, did you see these comments of Chase Elliott when he did practice? They had an extra practice time. It was 50 minutes, and he said that he had literally forgotten that they changed the package until after practice, and he was asked about it by his like crew chief and stuff, and he was like, oh, I, you know, if you hadn't mentioned that, I would have completely forgotten that that was even a thing. So I don't know if that's a good look, you know.
Good luck when the sports golden boy says that ain't cutting it.
Yeah,
I was so glad to see, by the way, practice in full form this week.
I know you love your practice.
That's what it used to be. Well, the reason this show is called Happy Hour is because it used to be Happy Hour, and now we get 20 minutes. That's not even what?
Happy 20 minutes. Well, should we change the name of our show to Happy 20 Minutes? And
it's a little wordy,
so we don't have to compete against Kevin Harvick, even though we had the name.
We did it first.
Yeah,
we did it. We did it first. He was still driving.
If we had lawyers, we'd be. We'd be sending cease and desists like nobody's business.
Well, some say I've got the gift of gab like a lawyer, so we can pull up.
I don't know if I'm smart enough.
MTJ made a nice strategy call. He and his people give James Small a lot of flack, and sometimes rightfully so. But Adam,
they made a good strategy call. I'm an MTJ fan, you know, and so I do follow a little bit closer what he's up to. And at first I was worried. I was like, this is not looking great. He's leading, but he's like, basically him and Priest were the only two that needed to pit and everyone else could make it to the end. And I thought, you're leading, that's great, but you know, you need a caution. And somehow they were saying on his radio, you know what, if you come with 40 to go, we think you can get back to fifth or sixth if you're efficient. And I thought, I can't see it. You know, we have issues with passing at Phoenix. Yes, he'll be on fresher tires than everyone, but I can't imagine that after going a lap down. And sure enough, he came back to seventh, which was, you know, miraculous in my mind. I guess they were just, you know, they knew it was going to happen, but I like to see them trying stuff. I don't mean just Martin Truex. I mean, just anyone in general. I like when there's alternate strategy ideas, things just to keep everything fresh. And whether it works or not, I mean, it sucks when it doesn't work because it discourages more of that, but this one I feel like was a win on the, you know, as far as it could have been, other than a caution coming out and getting the actual win of the race. But to salvage that, he came back out on pit road or from pit road in, I think, 23rd or 24th and made his way back up to seventh in about 38 laps. So it was pretty impressive.
No, I thought it was a great strategy call. And keep in mind, if you follow the leader, you'll follow the leader. Right. Freddie with a nice comment. He said he liked Bristol on dirt. Don't get me wrong. It was different. Yeah, but it wouldn't have been cheap to bring in all the dirt and the sand. Yeah, you're right. And then get it back down on the main surface. Bristol dirt's a very controversial, complicated.
Polarizing. Yeah.
Like, there's parts of me that liked it. I liked the idea of something new and different. And, you know, but I do feel like last year it was pretty clear that the novelty had kind of worn off, similar to what we felt with the Clash this year, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't have any novelty for the Clash, but that's a different conversation for a different podcast. look, I'd like to see a dirt track on the schedule, but I'd like to see a genuine dirt track on the schedule. I don't think you take one of the more iconic tracks and put dirt on it. That's just my estimation, my opinion, and that's when I'm talking, that's the only one I care about. I don't think you do. I don't think you take dirt and put it. I mean, Bristol is one of the sports pillars. You know, it's not quite a crown jewel, but it's a crown jewel's good-looking cousin, at the very least. At the very least.
Right.
And so, for me, I think you do it on a track that I don't think Bristol ever needed saved, if that makes sense. Like, I think there's tracks out there that we could try some major experiments with that are kind of, I mean, Phoenix is getting there, to be honest with you.
Let's put dirt on Phoenix. There you go. The spring race. Here we go. Put dirt on Phoenix for the spring race. That way there's no advantage to like what you do in the spring that helps you at the championship race later.
And no book is worthless.
Exactly. And then it spices up Phoenix because it could use some spicing. That's for sure.
You're right, Adam, in the sense of you bring up Bristol and the excitement of it. It does help where it's put on the schedule. Plus, let's be honest, having it as a night race and the premier night race of the series just gives it a different vibe entirely. So it's hard to judge it in the fair same light. We'll get that kind of comparison this weekend because it's a Food City 500 returns and it's a regular usual start time, I believe, at 3:30 Eastern. And so that'll probably be about a 3:47 green flag. I like to pick odd times like that, maybe 3:48.
They're very good at their timing, though, I will say. They give the weird times, but they follow. They're very almost closely.
Never late. If they are late, it's a minute.
Yeah.
NASCAR has gotten away from its roots, says Sean. He doesn't mind the shade racing, but would love to see them go back to the old style racing with no brakes and points racing. I got to disagree, Sean. I don't want to see the old school points racing back because I like the – I know it's manufactured drama. I know that, but I like manufactured drama. I like the Game 7 idea. Now, I could give or take stage racing. That doesn't mean – that doesn't amount to a bucket of spit to me as far as my entertainment goes. I like some aspects of it because it doesn't – it discourages the used-to-be riding around for – 400 laps of the 500 race and you got to go get some points. So I like that aspect of it, but I do think that I would be okay with the day where we no longer have the stage breaks. However, I would be disappointed if we went back to the old, what we call the Winston Cup style format. I would be disappointed with that. You got any thoughts on that, Adam?
I mean, as someone who never watched the old format, I'm not as familiar with it. I mean, I've done some reading on it and stuff. I'm happy with the current format, to be honest. I'm with you. I like the playoffs. I like that kind of Game 7 moment, like you called it. And I think, I don't know, it makes for, we don't have a Max Verstappen year where, five races before the end, we already know who the champion is. And like, why would anyone watch the last few races? Yes, there's some small drama to be had, but at the end of the day, NASCAR makes its money based on its ratings. And, I think it obviously the proof is in the pudding. You see the racing, the ratings are up when they're in the playoffs. So I don't know. I say keep it. And could it use some tweaks here and there? Maybe. I don't know. There's, there are always things that come up that are unforeseen and we go, we could never have imagined that this scenario might have taken place, but you can tweak it as you go. And I think they do a good job of that, I think. So
I don't think we're done with tweaks to the format. I think they'll continuously tweak it over. And I want to say continuously, I mean, once every 5 to 10 years.
Right.
I think we will constantly see changes in the format. But frankly, we see changes in every format. I mean, the reality is NASCAR and every other sport for that matter is trying to appeal to a younger audience, which tends to have less of an attention span. And so that's why you're seeing the stage racing and the to a lesser extent, the playoff argument, because, that's been around long enough that it's hard to say that's because of that. But stage racing, certainly the 400-mile races and almost exclusively that is certainly very much, in my estimation, trying to appeal to a younger audience that tends to not be able to sit and watch a race for 4 hours. What say you on that? And then we'll move on.
Yeah, I like the stage racing as well. I like the incentive to kind of run up front through most of the race, or at least, at certain portions of the race, rather than, like you said, kind of just hanging back and waiting for, all the chaos to happen in front of them and then just swoop in, and that can make for some boring racing. So I think that's great. I don't hate the idea of no cautions at the end of stage breaks, because I know that could make for some differing like fuel strategies and stuff. I like that idea, but I know they tried that at road courses for a little bit last year and then they got rid of it. So I don't know. I'd love to see them try it at an oval and just see what happens. And partially that's because I'm a younger fan. And when I say younger, I mean new to the sport. I'd like to see that because I haven't really seen that in my fandom. So,
well, let me tell you, buddy, I do not want to see them try road courses without stage breaks anymore, ever, 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 ever again. We tried that last year, and I remember when it was like Coca-Cola and it was the real thing. A little bland. Sean says you could try outdoor dirt track. My only concern there, Sean, would be I don't know if there's enough room on that baby to hold 36 Cup cars. I saw the outdoor truck race live, and time was tight, like Booker T and the MGs already. So I can't imagine 36 cars on that puppy, especially if you're going to double file them. Of course, you could single file them, and then that would be a little different. But with NASCAR's, again, trying to create that drama with the double file restarts, I don't know if we ever see that.
It's a half mile. I'm looking it up. I wasn't sure how long it is. It's a half mile. I mean, that's same as Martinsville or Bristol, although I imagine that the way you drive a dirt track is a little different. You need a little more space for, you know, maneuvering. But yeah, I don't know. Half a mile seems to be okay as far as like Bristol and Martinsville go.
I hate the All-Star race every single year. I hate it. We've turned it into some stupid gimmick like it's professional wrestling. I hate the All-Star race. I loathe the All-Star race. Hate it. I'm like the Grinch. Hate, double hate, loathe entirely. The All-Star race stinks.
I feel like they always have to put out this like huge graphic that explains the rules of the All-Star race. And it's always like, you need like a calculus degree to understand exactly what means what and all that. If they're trying to make the sport more catered to the younger fans and to the people who maybe, you know, I don't want to generalize, but maybe have a shorter attention span. Like, you need half an hour just to sit down and digest that graphic to understand what the hell's going on. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the way to do it, but
I love the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro because I love North Wilkesboro. That's a getting back to the roots thing.
Right.
But I hate the format of the All-Star race is so convoluted and silly. It's literally the equivalent of wiping before you poop, but I really struggle with it. All right, we got to keep moving it along here. Justin Newgarden won the season opener IndyCar. Did you happen to watch any IndyCar, Adam?
I did not. No, I need to watch more IndyCar, I think. I hear that it's good racing, but I haven't gotten as into it. So our IndyCar open wheel guru is practicing eating a meal tonight. So we don't have him here today to tell us all about Joseph Newgarden, but that's okay. We'll catch up with him again soon.
Yes. NHRA had their season opener. The Gator Nationals in Gainesville, and of course in F1, stop me for this, for Max Verstappen won.
Yeah, I mean the gap to second place was only 13 seconds this time. It was, you know, they're catching him. Yep. slowly but surely.
He's like Richard Petty in 67. Just who's going to run second?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I don't know how F1 still has a viewership right now, you know. So,
all right, let's. What do you say we move on to our happy hour headline
here? Hello, Michaela. Good to see you. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, Michaela. Thanks for stopping by. What do you say we move on to our happy hour headlines?
I think we should. Let's do it.
All right, Adam. Break this down for me. Because I'm a little lost in the sauce. Championship race appears like it could be moving in 25. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, I know Freddie mentioned it earlier in the show too on our comment section, but I guess on the Teardown, which is the podcast with Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi after each race, Jordan Bianchi said in kind of an educated guess sort of way, saying like, based on some conversations he's had, he would not be surprised if Phoenix is not the championship in 2025, and also believes that it could go back to Homestead. Now, obviously none of this is confirmed. I'm sure NASCAR, you know, is still quite a ways away from announcing, you know, 2025 scheduling, but it does seem interesting that it comes up right after the Phoenix race this year, which by many people's accounts was not exactly exciting. So yeah, I am totally on board with Homestead being the championship race. I also just, you know, I think Homestead's a great track. I think the next gen car has been great at Homestead. I also just love the idea that it's a track that we only visit once. I don't like the idea that you get a kind of a warm up for the championship race earlier in the year. I think everyone's using their best guess at the championship race. I like that best.
Yeah, I think only a select few dates should have two dates on the schedule. We can go into that another time. I agree. We're a long way away from any scheduling sort of thing. Remember how long it took last year, right? So yeah, I agree with you on that. But where do you want to see the championship race?
I've seen the idea floated around on social media as well about like rotating the championship race, so it's not at the same place every time. I like that idea too, but I don't know. Homestead has proven to be a great track with the next gen car. It was a great track before that too. It's just kind of a winner. And there is kind of a, I don't know if I'm qualified to say this, but there's kind of a prestige with the Homestead being the final race of the year because it was for so long. I don't know. I lean towards Homestead, but I think any sort of mile and a half, which I know is kind of like the NASCAR Cup Series bread and butter, you know, mile and a half, you wouldn't probably see it in Kansas or anything like that just because, you know, no one goes to Kansas.
It's a great racing though.
Yeah, it's true. And that's the thing. I think so. It needs to be a mile and a half, but it needs to, also be, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I like the idea that it is a track that we only visit once. I'm okay with some tracks being on the schedule twice, but I don't know if I like that for the championship race. Hello, producer Peggy. Good Hi. To see you. Do you have a thought on this, whether it should go back to Homestead or where would you like to see it?
I would like to see it go back to Homestead.
Yeah. For sure. Should Homestead get a second race? Is that a thought? Like, do you like the championship race having Phoenix in the spring and then Phoenix in the fall?
I feel like it should be like wherever your championship's going to be, that should be the one race.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It looks like we got our Logan back. There he is.
Okay. Look, when the dog needs things, I do it.
He's an enigma. Yeah, he just floats in and out.
The dog's more important than y'all. We're here to do it. Sean says old school used to have two races at every track except the road courses, short track for a championship track. I would be okay with that once they get this package fixed. Once we know it's halfway decent, I think a Bristol date for a championship would be really cool. Be a little chilly, but it'd be really cool. It would be really, I think, special.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I'm on the fence. I don't have a strong opinion either way. I think Homestead's great, but I'm willing to see anything, really. I don't know. I just think it's time for a change. Time for a change from Phoenix.
Speaking of, agreed, you know, championship tracks are a lot like diapers. They ought to be changed fairly often. So, speaking of change, Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson are floating around the idea. They've made very clear that they'd like to add some horsepower. Of course, Denny Hamlin being the most public, probably, face of the sport at this point, as far as, you know, looking at it from the driver's perspective, and of course as the co-owner of 2311, he wants to see horsepower added, and he has made clear that it wouldn't change, from his perspective, the financials of the sport to any meaningful degree, if at all. He doesn't understand why more horsepower isn't an option. Adam, what's your take on that? Should we consider more horsepower? I personally think we ought to. We've tried about everything under the sun except
right
a little bit more horsepower. So you know what? Let's just see if we can't make that happen.
The talk about whether it's going to cost more money or not, I mean, I'm not smart enough to know that sort of answer. I know that's NASCAR's answer, or it has been in the past when, you know, the media has asked, what about upping the horsepower again? What about doing this? And they've said, you know, it's a possibility. It's something that, you know, we've considered, but it is an added expense for the teams and for the manufacturers and all this. And I guess Denny came out on his podcast this week and said, no, it would not cost any more than it does right now to bring more horsepower. And then Kyle Larson kind of doubled down on that too. He said, you know, we could bring 1,000 horsepower this weekend and we'd be ready to go. We could do it. And I don't know if going quite to 1,000 is the answer, but I do know there's also other people who have said that adding more horsepower means you're likely going to have a bigger margin between cars. And I know NASCAR does enjoy that kind of close racing. I mean, you probably wouldn't get a finish like you had in Atlanta. So I don't know. I'm torn. I don't know if I understand well enough what the issue is. I see that there is an issue, but I don't know if I'm like, you know, I don't have that degree like Ryan Newman. I'm not sure I know what the fix is. I'm happy with NASCAR trying new things. I'm happy that they tried a different package this weekend. I think that's, you know, there are some sports that maybe would just say, hey, that's the way it is. Too bad. Deal with it. And so I like that they are taking an active role in trying to find something new, but this might not have been it this past weekend. And you know what? That's okay. We go back to the drawing board. We try something else. Maybe it is more horsepower. I'd be willing to try it, but I don't know if it is the answer either. I don't know. Do you have more insight on that? Cause I'm not sure.
You know, like you, I can't give a good solid, here's what needs to be done. I would just like to see them try it. Unless, again, I understand like the reality is, folks, you know, they're trying to make money and they're trying to save money. And I mean, that's why practice is down to 20 minutes and all that sort of thing. Cause once we had COVID come on through, they realized, wow, we can
don't get started on your practice. We can practice soapbox.
We can save some cash. Well, actually, in this case, I'm not trying to go on a hyperbolic rant about practice as much as I like it. It's just, that's a great example of, oh, they discovered this will save money. And so that's why we haven't gone back to this was the first time, I believe, since COVID that we've had anything close to what used to be the traditional practice. They're just, you know, they're pinching pennies where they can. And it's not because they're going broke. It's just because that's what every sport does. You try to, you know, I can save a little money here because if you can cut a little off the top there, that means you can add a little more to the blanket on the bottom. It's kind of
I don't know what the ratings are on practice. I mean, I don't think many people watch it that closely. I know you probably sit there with bated breath enjoying it, but it's, you know, it is not exactly riveting television. And I understand that, you know, I don't know if it needs to be televised, but
look, riveting schmiveting. you're about to have a new TV deal with True TV, who, and guess what? True TV has got Impractical Jokers and then what? Paid programming with Cindy Crawford.
Listen, so, Impractical Jokers is a great show.
For Impractical Jokers, but I can't name another show. I can't name another show on the damn network.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so put it on there, and even if it, and I'll bet it draws big numbers for what True TV is compared to, because again, usually unless Impractical Jokers is on, nobody's watching True TV.
Yeah.
But it should not always be about the bottom dollar. It should be about, this will help put on a better product.
Right.
And 50 minutes of practice, look, at this point, I'll take my 20 minutes because it's better than when we get to Atlanta and Daytona and Talladega. But I just think it would be better for the show. Again, that's a different rant for a different time.
I mean, I can, you know, devil's advocate here. I can tell you this was the first time they had long practice, and this was the most boring race of the season so far too, right? Like, so I don't necessarily equate those two things, but I could see where they're saying, listen, the previous three races we haven't done that 50 minutes and the product's been great, people have loved it, let's keep going that way.
I don't think it's peanut butter and jelly, but it does turn out that way. Speaking of more things changing, NBC and Rick Allen. Rick Allen's only going to call races up until the Olympic break, and then he's getting kind of shoved to the side. Adam, tell us about it.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, NBC is just in shambles after the news that Dale Jr. is leaving. Like, I don't know what's happening there. If they're like, forget it, we're going all new. Rick Allen, goodbye. Or I don't know. It could be Rick Allen's choice.
Not goodbye. He's still going to call every Xfinity race. But
is he? Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that.
He's calling every Xfinity race, but
that could be a him decision where he's like, yeah. I don't want to spend every single weekend traveling. And I don't know. So it could be. I don't know what the actual reasoning is, but this Lee Diffie guy, he's Australian. Is that right? Apparently he has called some NASCAR races. This is before my time, but I don't know. Yeah. An Australian, maybe he's here to pump up SVG or something.
I don't know if I like this move.
No,
it isn't. It's no prejudice or anything of that nature. It's that I don't know if an Australian should be the lead play-by-play commentator to NASCAR and its fan base at this stage of the sport. NASCAR is still an older audience. The average age of a NASCAR fan is around 58 years old. I just think that's, I don't know if that meshes. You know what I mean? You need a.
I haven't had a chance to go back and listen to one of the old races that he called. I plan on doing that, and I'll give you a review after and let you know how it goes. But
yeah, we'll see. It'll be. You know, I won't miss Rick going green flag back in the air. But
yeah,
but there's a certain audience that, and I think an Australian accent for that matter is a little tougher on certain people's ears. And what I mean by that is, it's a big major shift for a lot of older people to have to after hearing Rick Allen, or of course the legendary Mike Joy. And then we go to a what is probably going to be a very pronounced Australian accent. Let's be fair and give it a chance. But I just on the surface, not so sure about this one.
I don't know. I mean, I have my own issues with Rick Allen and the way he calls it too. But
Rick Allen, I'm not a Rick.
He does have a great voice
stretch, but I don't know that he needed replaced. And if he needed replaced, I don't know. Alan Bestwick, hi.
Right.
That guy's really, really good. Sean says NASCAR should have its own TV station. They should. Yeah. They should have their own streaming service. I'm still hoping for that day. I'm hoping that's what NASCAR Classics is kind of a test run for, is in maybe a couple years we get a true, genuine, bona fide, you know, $10 a month NASCAR streaming service that everything under the sun on that puppy.
Would that have live races on it every weekend too then? Or
I think it would depend on what the TV deal mandates and allows.
Right.
The only thing I can compare to is Peacock for WWE. New episodes of their weekly television are uploaded every 30 days. And that's
okay.
That's because of their TV deal that they have with their various partners.
I would be on board with a commercial-free
streaming
service where like you can pay more and you watch the race and there's no commercials. Especially, I mean, I don't know what your commercials are like down in the States, but up in Canada, we have like the same four commercials that just cycle through the entire race. I could recite them to you right now.
Well, maybe on a week where there's less content, we can break that down. Maybe.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, let's move on.
Maybe. But yeah, we'll see what happens with NBC. I feel like they're getting ready to enter into a new era, certainly.
Yeah.
Without Dale Jr., and that's disappointing. But hopefully Dale Jr. has. Hopefully Amazon's got big plans for him. Hopefully that's a good sign for things to come. All right, Adam, little thing you got in here called the beef report, and I like that.
Well, we got a couple beefs brewing in the Cup Series there. You saw Logano versus John Hunter Nemechek. They were not pleased with each other. Logano's comments after wrecking out of the race was basically that, you know, John Hunter Nemechek was just riding pedal to the metal, and that, you know, you need more finesse at a track like Phoenix, and kind of was calling him out. I also take Logano's comments with a grain of salt because he's just been wrecked out of the race. He's obviously upset about that, a little bit fired up, and you know, Logano can be fired up.
I had no disrespect to the two-time champion, but are you sure that's how you feel, or are you feeling that way because you just have had nothing but DNF so far this year?
I know, right? Yeah, he's had a rough start.
I'm not trying to take sides. Sean says that John Hunter just ran over him.
I don't know if Hunter's car was better,
and maybe John Hunter's car was better, and he didn't have to slow up as much.
Yeah.
And because, let's be honest, Joey Logano wasn't running well. And I'm not saying that means let's wreck out. But Joey Logano clearly was struggling because he was mired back there in the pack.
I mean, I bet there are thousands of examples of Logano being the car in the back and coming up on someone and them going, spinning.
Come on, move. I'm quicker than you. Let's go.
Exactly. Like, and them spinning as a result. So I don't know. I don't want to seem
too biased. You know, we all know my legacy fandom, but truly trying to take that out truly.
No, I don't care either way. And
it's hard for me to totally believe Logano in the sense of like, maybe because, I mean, I know it's not the same thing. A video game does not equate, but we've played NASCAR Heat, and sometimes it's easier to get into the turns for some of us than others, depending on the race and your setup. That certainly is magnified in real life. So maybe because of the setup and the struggles that Logano was having, plus he was pretty much riding that bottom.
Like, well, struggles he was having and has been having all season, really.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take sides in it. I don't want to appear too biased. I know I'm a Legacy Motor Club guy, and so I'm trying to just take that entirely out of the equation. I don't know. Logano saying that someone's got to learn such and such is really rich because he made sure to piss off every veteran he possibly could the first 5 years of his career.
Yeah.
Ryan Newman nearly threw fisticuffs at him. And so right. it just really a little rich coming from Joey Logano. And I think Joey Logano's a good guy, but I think he's a self-admitted flawed individual on the track. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see if anything more comes of it. I guess John Hunter's not off to a great start in making friends. Of course, in the Daytona duels, Ricky Stenhouse said, "Hey, nice window that you have there. Let me take that down."
Right. It seems like it's a legacy issue because my other beef report I have is between Briscoe and Jones, which seems so random to me. I just never would have guessed that they don't really like each other, but this all came to light in one of Jeff Gluck's 12 questions interviews.
I've got the breakdown on this. As you know, okay. I listen to the 43 scanner.
Yeah, yeah.
Religiously every Sunday, if good Lord willing is able, you know. And Jones didn't like the way he ran him. He thinks that it was his fault that he ever had that issue, got in the wall. Because remember, Briscoe got into Bubba, who got into Jones. Jones is not blaming Bubba at all for the issue. He's blaming Chase Briscoe for the issue because he thought he ran him like garbage. And from what Jones says, that's not their first issue at all. Sounds like they've had some beef indeed. Very, very odd. You don't picture Eric Jones versus Chase Briscoe as the next great NASCAR feud, but maybe.
It could be. I know. Maybe. I mean, now what? I'll be keeping my eyes out for it. If they're close on the track, I'll be wondering. They'll probably be racing each other a little harder. So
I'm sure they're running fairly similar so far this year. So they're probably getting a little sick of seeing each other. Sometimes that happens too, folks. It's a matter of you guys are in the same areas in the point standings, and usually that equates to being in the same places on the track. And it's just like, I am tired of dealing with you every lap of every single week, and so it's time to move. So, yeah, we'll see how it all shakes out.
They literally are tied for points now.
Oh, yeah, that's it, right? That's how it usually equates. It's because I see you every week of every lap, and I'm really tired of you.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a three-way tie. Michael McDowell also has same, but I don't see him getting involved in that. Okay. I did just want to share something here, Logan, just to get back quickly to the Logano versus John Hunter Nemechek.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anyone follows NASCAR Chasm on Twitter. It's just like one of my favorite follows. I laugh every week. This tweet I'm just pulling up here, this gave me a good chuckle. The number 42 hauler may have just been added to the Joey Logano lecture circuit, with a picture from the clash when Joey Logano was lecturing Ty Gibbs as well. I just thought that was hilarious, so wanted to share that. Shout out to NASCAR.
That should have been on my top 10 tweets of the week.
There you go. Could have been. Should have been. Yeah.
But I put.
It's hard to keep up.
I already had one of their tweets, and I because if you looked at my article.
I did.
I picked a good one for them. So
yes,
that was trust. My God.
Yeah, the hammer.
Yeah, because I'm like, gee, that's tight. That is real tight.
There you go. Well, we don't have any association with him, but I say go follow him because he's hilarious and Absolutely. Honestly some great NASCAR content throughout the race.
A lot of fun on NASCARcasm.
I also try to live tweet the race. I'm not quite as funny as him, but you know, I try to check that out. So, you know, you can always follow me at Racing Refresh during the race.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm
tweeting follow. Up a storm or Xing up a storm, depending on who you ask.
I think the technical term is posting up a storm.
I think that's lame. Tweet is such a much better word.
Everyone still calls it tweet.
I know.
Like everybody.
All like but
we
one.
We all acknowledge it's X now, but we all still call them tweets.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
So I don't know the official. Do you know the official term of is it tweets? Is it post? Is it Xing? Is it?
I don't think it's tweets anymore, but I'm not sure what the new it is. Posts. I am not sure. Anyways,
I don't know. Elon's a strange duck. Speaking of strange ducks, I couldn't pull that off. Ratings are up again, 19% from last year's Spring Phoenix race. Now, to be fair. Let's keep in mind that was up against Selection Sunday for March Madness, and that's a big damn deal.
Yep.
That's a big damn deal.
I get it. It's not necessarily comparable because it's slightly different weekends. I think Phoenix was the fifth race of the season last year. But still, I mean, we've consistently seen ratings are up a little bit here and there. Whether you call that the Netflix effect or whatever. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I think it's great.
We hope so. Sean says now, how would Logano have felt if that would have been Dale Sr. ran him over? I'd love to see those two personalities have had a beef. That would have been interesting because
I bet they would have had beef.
Cause they both feel like they own the place. God rest Dale Sr.'s soul, but let's not act like every room he walked into, he felt like he owned that entire room. Didn't matter. Right. It might've been a Walmart. so God rest his soul, but yeah, that'd have been interesting. All right, we're gonna keep it moving, and so that means it's time for another weekend preview.
Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
It really
shout is. Out producer Peggy. I think it we is. Shout her out every really week, but she deserves it. It's great.
The Xfinity guys have the weekend off. Trucks and Cup head to Bristol, and yes, Sean, as you alluded to, and Freddie, No dirt at all. Don't believe David Spade will be in attendance. no dirt at all.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I think
they're kind of having a mini throwback week at Bristol. You know, they're painting the walls the old color. It's called the Food City 500. All the commercials are kind of throwback feelish, you know, 80s type thing. So I'm kind of excited about that. That's right. It's Bristol, baby. And so, yeah, they're kind of having their own miniature throwback sort of thing, at least from the track theme. Obviously, there's not any throwback schemes. That'll be for Darlington here in May, I believe.
I think so,
Can't recall where it falls on the schedule this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing, and we can answer any remaining questions about those four track packages this weekend.
Yeah, this will be the time.
I've got plenty.
Although I'm saying that, and then I'm also going to contradict myself and you and say Bristol's also its own unique duck. You know, it's the high banking. Like, you can't compare this to a Martinsville because Martinsville has little to no banking. And I don't know, is there a perfect package out there that fits all of these short tracks? Because they're all so different, right?
Trivial Life says they ain't running the short track package this weekend. I'd like you to expand upon that, sir.
Is that true? I'm not aware of that, but you could be right.
Do your diligence there, Stat Chatter.
I'm working on it. You stall for a second here.
Oh, I got you, brother. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing Bristol two days of the concrete. And I'll tell you what I'm interested in, folks, is the attendance. Remember, one of the reasons they went to Bristol Dirt is because the attendance for the spring race had become pretty mediocre, let's call it, compared to the night race. They've already had to shrink down the grandstands once. So I'm interested to see the attendance. I hope it's a great weekend of racing. I'm sure it will be. Of course, it's a lot of fun, the beating and banging of Bristol on the last great Coliseum. Again, it's one of those tracks where history lives there, right? I mean, we all remember Dale Sr. Rattling the cage. And so we all remember such great legend. Of course, the Bush brothers dominating Bristol. They absolutely have owned the place. So you got to look out for Kyle this weekend. This weekend will be my second ever trip to Bristol. You went to the All-Star race in 2020. If I'm not mistaken, I believe one Chase Elliott won that All-Star race.
That's good.
If I'm not mistaken, old Clutch Clyde, old William Clyde himself, that's his real name.
I did some quick research here, Logan.
Yeah.
It appears that Trioval Life is correct. And we are
Trioval Life, my man. Come on in here.
Props to you, Trioval Life. Yeah, it looks like they are not using this new short track package at Bristol or Dover this season. I'm not entirely sure why. It's probably the banking. It probably has something to do with it. But yeah, okay.
All so right, then, well, no, yes.
We will well, not have
we were we
not have an answer this weekend. But you know what?
I know nothing. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you, brother. We appreciate you. We'll be the first to admit we're wrong. We'll just look damn good doing it.
That's right.
Senior got his first cup race win at Bristol. So yeah, again, so much legendary history at Bristol. And so great to be back on the traditional surface.
Honestly, even so, like I don't remember these things. I wasn't watching NASCAR back in these days, and I still have like great memories from Bristol, and they're not that old. But I mean, even that amazing race with Matt DiBenedetto kind of holding on and Denny passing him at the end, that was such a thrilling end to the race. As much as at the time everyone was so rooting for Matt DiBenedetto, it was you know, it just puts on a great show, and there's something about it. I don't know.
Hopefully, I really hope the attendance is halfway decent, so we don't
agree.
You know, we don't continue to have those questions, because again, that is one of the reasons they tried the dirt experiment. But we appreciate you for tuning in. Please give us a like, give us a share. We would really appreciate that. He says that a 2019 race between Matty D and Hamlin was classic, and that indeed it was. And speaking of classic, I'll tell you what's classic. Race and Refresh Picks is classic. So what do you say we go ahead and do our next game of Race and Refresh Picks before we bring it home right about now?
Look at this. You're just teeing these up. This is producer Peggy's playing T-ball over there. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, that's it right there. Adam, update us on the score, would you, my friend?
Yeah, I certainly will, because I won. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Even from afar, I'm still making great picks. I picked Chastain last week, and he came P6. So 4 points to me. Colin got 3. Logan, you got 2 with your Elliott pick. And producer Peggy, unfortunately, came last with her Joey Logano. So... unfortunately, yeah. Producer Peggy, do we have updated standings there? It's okay. I can read them up. We got Colin still in first. He's got 12. I'm right behind him with 11. Producer Peggy's got 9, and Logan bringing up the rear with 8.
Ouch. Got some much needed points there with Chase. Not as many as I would have liked, obviously, but got a little bit. A little bit right back.
Moving on up.
We're still in the ball game. It's not looking quite as paltry as it was.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's a long season. We're only 4 races in.
Yep.
Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. Producer Peggy, you're up first. Who are you picking?
I'm gonna take Denny Hamlin.
All right, Mr. Logan.
I'll take one, Ryan Preece.
Okay. Hey, he's good at the short tracks.
Yep, that's it right there, brother.
Colin would be next. He did give us his pick in advance. He's picking Carson Hocevar. And I am last. And you know what? I didn't really think that hard about this because I kind of forgot to. So I am going to say... ooh, you know what? I'm going to pick Logano. And I know that seems weird after I was just dunking on him, but
he's due at some point.
He's due. He's
better for you than it did for me.
Yeah, I know. See how it goes. But he, you know, he's good at Bristol. He did win on the dirt, didn't he? I don't know. I can't remember now, but we'll see how that goes. We got Trial of a Life telling us he's picking Ty Gibbs. I should say they're picking. I don't know if Trial Life is a... But yeah, Ty Gibbs for the first win. It'd be cool to see. Ty Gibbs has been putting up a great season and right now currently leads the Cup Series in average finish. Has the best average finish out of anyone.
I agree. Ty Gibbs might be, and this is a way too soon take, but he might be a championship dark horse with the kind of season he's having so far.
It's looking good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, long way to go. Lots of seasons to come, and I mean literally. That's how long this season is, that we go through multiple seasons.
We also got a pick for the 24 car.
Sean's going to take Big Bill Byron.
Big Bill Byron.
All right. So with that, look, every great show must come to an end. That's the only way it is. And you don't have to leave the internet, but you can't stay at this particular link for too much longer. So with that, let's get to closing time.
That is sharp. Looking good there, Producer Peggy. And also you, Logan, sure.
I think I'm sharp. I think I'm very quick-witted in fact. Don't think quick about me.
There you go.
Other than that, I got two speeds, slow and slower. So with that, hey, Sean, tune in next Wednesday, 9 o'clock. We'll be right back here, same bad time, same bad channel.
We'll be here.
We will be here. Good though, one of the creek don't rise, as old Hank would say. So with that, it's time to get in some final words. And producer Peggy, I'm gonna start with you since I hit a Hank reference there.
Tomorrow, I turn 27 years old.
Whew.
And I don't know how I feel about that. Mainly because. I don't want to get too weird.
No, tell us, Peggy. We're going to put you full screen here. Tell us.
Well, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. That's the age that everyone in the 27 Club died.
Hence the name the 27 Club, yes.
Yeah. And so, not that I want to join the 27 Club, just that I always thought, like, wow, Kurt Cobain was so old when he died, and now I'm going to be that old, and I don't feel that old. And thank you, Trial of a Life. And I don't know, it's just weird.
I think you're going to make it. You're going to make it, Producer Peggy.
Will I make it to 20?
You can do it.
There's a great Satchel Paige quote, folks, and because he pitched to his 50s and 60s in baseball in both the majors and the Negro Leagues back in the day. And when he was about 58, he was asked, why do you keep doing it? And he said, how old would you be if you had no idea how old you were? So don't put too much into age. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm going to process that one after the show. That's all right.
Because he was still pitching in his upper 50s.
That's pretty crazy.
He said, how old would you be if you had no idea how old you were? Anywho, so with
everybody,
that, Adam,
everybody get your hot takes in.
For next week?
Do I make it to 28 years old?
I see. Sure hope so.
Yes, I hope that's not a hot take. I hope that's a very cold take.
Thank you, Sean.
Hope it's a frigid take, for God's sake.
My goodness, we gave her the platform. This is taking a turn.
Adam, for God's sake, save me some final words here. We got people.
I'm just gonna say happy birthday, Producer Peggy. It's always a pleasure doing the show with you, and I have great hope and great good things and good vibes coming your way in the year 27, and you're going to make it to 28. I'm looking forward to celebrating your 28th birthday with you next year. So there you go. And thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I want to say a happy early birthday to my better half. No, not my dog. Producer Peggy. Peter, I love you more than life itself. I couldn't do it without you, and you are my greatest blessing, and I hope you have the birthday that you deserve, which is one that is reminded of just how valued and loved that you are and how wonderful of an individual you are. I hope that very sincerely. Without you, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, and this show wouldn't be doing what it's doing. So thank you so much for tolerating me day in, day out. All righty. Let me see what I can muster up here for some real final words, because that was a little... yucky,
mushy. It's all right. No, we like it.
But no, happy birthday to my beloved lady, who I would die for. I mean that very sincerely. So we hope you have a wonderful race weekend at Bristol. We hope you enjoy all the action. No short track package. We were wrong. Triova Life was right as rain. Yep. And we hope that he, she, or they will be right on back here next week with us. And until then, we will see you at the next track. And remember, it's Bristol, baby.